We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Praise the Lord.
Go.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord again for one time. Once again, we're in the radio station taking time for Jesus. I pray that you have took time for him to realize that this day that we're celebrating is what a lot of people call Easter, but it was really the Passover.
Resurrection.
And the resurrection that Jesus wanted to eat the Passover supper with his apostles before he suffered. My friend, today Easter is just one time mentioned in the scriptures, but Passover started along when they came out of Egypt's bondage many years ago before the Lord was crucified. So we get all confused over these false teachings and doctrines, but there's one thing about it. God's going to have the last say on the last day, and he's going to bring forth, and you will be judged out of his word, the scriptures, the Bible, and then if they're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to make it.
Right.
Paganism is not one of God's choices for you. It's him and him only. It's not, as the preacher before said, it's not about us, but it's about him, about Jesus. He's the one who came into this world, manifested in the flesh. God himself came and died for yours and my sin. He came into this world for that purpose, to go to Calvary's cross, taking our sins upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We got to realize, my friend, it's not you and I that could do nothing for the salvation of our soul, but he done it all. He paid the price, and it made salvation free unto them that would call upon the name of the Lord through grace, faith, into him that died for our sins. And I just appreciate him today and thank him for the time that we have, that we can give him praise and honor and look to him for our needs being met. And if we would only believe and trust in him, things would be a lot better for us than what they are. But we rely upon the government, mostly lean upon the arm of flesh, and flesh will let you down, my friend. But God will bring forth liberty to you and eternal life, and he's the only one that can do it. No man ever born of a woman can forgive you of your sins. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is the only one that came and paid yours and my sin debt, and he's the only one that can forgive sin. Nobody else can do it. No other name given among man whereby that we might be saved. So we just got to realize today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. We've got to come to the place that we're in. God said that we need to call upon him, rely upon him, trust him, and have faith in him. And then we can have that gift of eternal life. But it's only through Jesus Christ, my friend. Not through no other man, regardless of where he lives or what, how his position in life is. No other man can forgive you of your sins. If I do something to offend you, or you do something to offend me, I can come to you, or you can come to me and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and we should do that. That way, he said, the scripture fulfilled that if we forgive them, then God will forgive us. But if we won't be willing to forgive them for whatever they may do to us, then our Heavenly Father is not going to forgive us. Jesus cried out when they nailed him to the cross, and he was suspended there on the cross. He looked out over them there, them that crucified him, abused him and mocked him and all, and he looked out over him and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. But it was in the scriptures that he would to come and suffer the persecution and be crucified, that you and I could have that hope in him of eternal life. So as we go to prayer at this time, you pray one for another that God will help us with understanding of the scriptures, that we won't be led astray by all of these false teachings and doctrine that's come down the road by these false prophets and false teachings. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this again opportunity that we can lift up that precious name of Jesus. We give you the honor and the glory for it, and we praise you knowingly that you have control over all things, that you have blessed us and kept us all the days of our life. We ask that you would help those that are listening to us, that you would bless them and give to them as you see fit, as abundance of the blessing that you have in store for all that would call upon your name, believing in you and trusting in you, that you died for them, that not only died, but you rose for them to confirm their lives in you, and their life be hid in Christ, and that you might bring them forth in the last days. We praise you, and we thank you for that hope that we have, and that hope that we have is in Jesus Christ our Lord. For there's no other way, no other time, no other man can forgive us of our sins but thee, O God. And we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to go out over the airways to whomever is listening. We pray that you would give them ears to hear and a heart to believe in you and trust in you. And we praise you for all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I believe my wife has got something over here that she wants to read for you. And just stay tuned and pray for us. The Lord bless. Here's my wife.
Well, I just praise the Lord this afternoon that I can share things with you. And just pray for me, because this is a very emotional to me. And I'm going to try to get through it. But have you ever thought about how the apostles died and what the death of Jesus was? Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia. He was killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the street until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos. He wrote his prophetic book of Revelations on the Isle of Patmos. The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as Bishop of Edessa in modern Turkey. He died as an old man. He was the only apostle to die peacefully. Peter, he was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross. According to church tradition, it was because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died. James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. And this is the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. James the Great was the son of Zebedee. He was a fisherman by trade when Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was ultimately beheaded at Jerusalem. The Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at the trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcome by conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian. Bartholomew is also known as Nathaniel, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed for our Lord in present-day Turkey.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bartholomew was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, where he was flayed to death by a whip. Andrew, he was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patmos, Greece. After being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led towards the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it." He continued to preach to his tormentors, and after 2 days, he died. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent. Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias was the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament. Perhaps this is a reminder to us that our sufferings here are indeed minor compared to the intense persecution and cold cruelty faced by the apostles and disciples during their time for the sake of the faith. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And in Matthew it says, "Faith is not believing that God can, it is knowing that God will." And now, the scientific death of Jesus. At the age of 33, Jesus was condemned to death. At the time, crucifixion was the worst death, and only the worst criminals were condemned to be crucified. Yet it was even more dreadful for Jesus. Unlike other criminals condemned to death by crucifixion, Jesus was to be nailed to the cross by his hands and his feet. Each nail was 6 to 8 inches long. The nails were driven into his wrist and not into his palms, as is commonly portrayed. There's a tendon in the wrist that extends to the shoulder. The Roman guards knew that when the nails were being hammered into the wrist, the tendon would tear and break, forcing Jesus to use his back muscles to support himself so that he could not breathe. Both of his feet were nailed together. Thus, he was forced to support himself on the single nail that was impaled his feet to the cross. Jesus could not support himself with his legs because of the pain, so he forced himself to alternate between arching his back, then using his legs just to continue to breathe. Imagine the struggle, the pain, the suffering, the courage Jesus endured for this reality for over 3 hours. Yes, it was over 3 hours. Can you imagine this kind of suffering? A few minutes before he died, Jesus stopped bleeding. He was simply pouring water from his wounds. From common images, we see wounds in his hands and his feet, and even the spear wound to his side. But do we realize his wounds were actually made in his body? A hammer driving large nails through the wrist, the feet overlapped, and an even larger nail hammered through the arches, then a Roman guard piercing his side with a spear. But before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped and beaten. The whipping was so severe that it tore the flesh from his body. The beating was so horrific that his face was torn and his beard was ripped from his face. The crown of thorns cut deeply into his scalp. Most men would not have survived his torture. He had no more blood to bleed out, only water poured from his wounds. The human adult body contains about 3.5 liters, just less than a gallon of blood. Jesus poured all 3.5 liters of his blood. He had 3 nails hammered into his members, a crown of thorns on his head, and beyond that, a Roman soldier who stabbed a spear into his chest. All these without mentioning the humiliation he suffered after carrying his own cross for almost 2 kilometers while the crowd spat in his face and threw stones. The cross was almost 30 kilograms of weight, only for its higher part where his hands were nailed. Jesus had to endure this experience to open the gates of heaven so that you can have free access to God, so that your sins could be washed away, all of them with no exception. Don't ignore this situation. Turn your life over to Jesus today. He died for you, and God has plans for you. Tell all your friends what he experienced to save you. And take a moment to appreciate the power of God in your life for doing what pleases him and not pleasing your flesh. If you're not ashamed of him, lead someone to Christ today. He said in Matthew 10:32-33, "Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whosoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." Yes, I love God. He's the source of my life, and he's my Savior. I live for him every day and every night. I talk to him in the morning. I talk to him in the afternoon. I talk to him at night before I go to bed. And Philippians 4:13 says, "Without him, I am nothing, but with him, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Now, are you ashamed of him today? Tell somebody about him. Tell him how he died for you, how he resurrected for you, and he lives again, and he's coming back for you and me. If you repent, have your sins under his blood. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. This will be our last broadcast live here, but we can be heard on your computer internet at www.homecominggospel.com at Take Time for Jesus, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And also, we'll be going on phoenixbroadcasting.com, Take Time for Jesus 24/7. We're self-supporting. If you would like to help us, or if you would like to write to us and tell us what you think of us, the address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682, or write to us, E. Compton, on the internet, ecompton31@yahoo.com. It has been a pleasure and a blessing for us to be coming into your homes for these past 2 years, and we're going to move on and try to work more for the Lord, and may God bless you, is our prayer.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my throne is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trove is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Praise the Lord again. We just thank him today for this day of remembering and the time that he spent on Calvary's cross for us. For them that would believe on him and trust in him, come to him, and him only can they have the salvation. We couldn't save ourselves, and the law couldn't save us, but through the suffering of our Lord and Savior on Calvary's cross, we have that salvation only from him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his grace that we are saved by faith in him, not in the arm of flesh or whatever the material things of this world or by whatever organization or whatever you may belong to, but it's belonging to Christ Jesus. He's the one that died for us there on Calvary. And we celebrate this day, most people call Easter, but there's only one place in the scriptures that I found that Easter was even in the Bible, and that's in Acts 12 and 4, it was mentioned. But I want you to think about when the Passover, Jesus mentioned about that it was a Passover, and there Matthew 26, and he said, it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, and he said unto his disciples, I know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And so it went on with all of the things that Jesus said. In Mark, he spoke about the Passover. In Luke, it was a Passover. John, and John 20 and 21, John 18, 20 and 21, and it was a Passover. The first Passover was initiated back years ago when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. It was a Passover there that they took the lamb that was there unto each one of them according to his household, and they sacrificed it, taking the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. My friend, today, the only way that we're going to have that blessed hope is having the blood of Jesus applied to our sin and covered us by putting the blood over our ways of life, doing away with our sins, covering them over. There's only one way we can get there, and that's through repentance. When the church was formed in Acts 2 and 38, when they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? Peter spoke to them there, and he said, Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, it only comes through Jesus Christ, through the teachings that he taught the apostles and that Paul got by revelation out in the wilderness in Saudi Arabia or somewhere or another in there, out from Damascus. My friend, today, unless God gives you the revelation of his word of truth, you're going to be lost without his hope, without anything you can do for yourself. So I encourage you to read the word of God, to see what it tells you, and see that it's not for no private interpretation. The word of God will stand by itself, my friend. You don't need to defend it, but be willing to give an answer from to whom you believe. And if you're ashamed of him before this adulterous and sinful generation, God will be ashamed of you before the time of judgment before his Father and his holy angels. I want you to understand that the Passover was initiated back in Egypt when the children of Israel was brought out of Egypt's bondage. And it's a Passover. Jesus came into this world. It was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He became our Passover sacrifice. He died for you and I. And he was sacrificed there on Calvary's cross that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. There's no other way we can make it except the way that Jesus went. You may not be crucified on a cross, my friend, but in this world you're going to have trouble. People are going to persecute you if you stand for his name's sake. And you think about that, how the Jewish people, that they rejected him and denied him to who he was, but he became the head, the chief cornerstone. He was the Messiah, but they disowned him. They said away with him and crucify him, but give us Barabbas. And that's what the world is saying today. Give us Barabbas. In other words, give us the world and all of its pleasures. Amen. And away with this man called Jesus, because they've taken him out of everything. They're writing his name on paper and stomping it on the floor. And all these things, they took him out of the prayers, out of the schools, and they come into where they do it all sorts of things. It's unholy and unacceptable before God, and they expect that they're going to go and keep the tradition of these pagan worshipers and these pagan gods and think that God's going to honor them and everything. Most all of your churches around about have their Easter egg hunts on today. My friend, that egg didn't have nothing to do with the resurrection of our Lord. And rabbits don't lay eggs to begin with, especially, and if they did, they wouldn't be colored. But I want you to know today that Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a woman, a little girl by the name of Mary, but she was conceived by the Spirit and the power of God overshadowed her. It wasn't a natural thing with man and a woman relationship, as traditional was, but it was by the miracle of God that she was pregnated and Jesus came out, because Mary was a lineage of David wherein that a king was. So was Joseph, but men don't have babies. The little girl, she had the child, and she knowed from the beginning, because the angel told her that holy thing that was there, and he would be called the Son of God. But people denied him and rejected him, just like they're doing today. We're living in perilous times, my friend, and it's about high time you wake up to reality and realize that these pagan worshipers that's going around and everything that's been come up to have Jesus' birthday celebrated on the 25th day of December, and Santa Claus compared to him and all these things, and then they come up with rabbits and eggs on his resurrection. The only place I found in the scriptures where the chicken was was even considered in the resurrection when he crowed after Peter denied him three times. Amen. You denied him many, many times by doing the things which are traditionally that come out of paganism, by hunting eggs and laying them out and teaching your children these things, and by Santa Claus. Jesus, I don't believe that you can find no place where he could ever possibly been born on the 25th day of December. But if you check up on some of the history of some of these paganism, you'll find that it was a pagan god that was born on the 25th day of December. Likewise, one of them that came forth and was supposed to been come out of an egg and was a sun worshiper or a queen of heaven, and wherein that some of these things they worship and the queen of heaven. My friend, God is God, and he's God all over the world. He's not in a corner somewhere or another. He's not in this place or that place. He's all over. He's omnipotent. He's presently with you anytime if you trust him. But I want you to know that he makes mention in his word. He said that he would mock at your fears when fear cometh on you. When you're looking death in the face and you get feared, and if you don't know the Lord, he's liable to laugh at you. And when the calamity happens, he'll even mock at you. God is not going to be mocked, my friend. He's not going to take all your insults and your paganistic ways of worshiping him and then invite you into his kingdom. You're going to have to come the way he said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Only rest you can find is in Christ Jesus. There's no other way that you can get there except through him. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto me but the Spirit draweth him." So how are you going to get there going through all this here wishy-washy way of worshiping and everything? It's going to have to be right down to the line. It's going to have to come line upon line, precept upon precept, and find Jesus Christ, the only hope of yours and my salvation. That's the only one that's going to be able to save you, my friend. He's the only one that died for you. No man, no other one died for you. No other one could die for you and bring salvation to you. When Jesus brought forth them out of the bondage of Egypt, that was a Passover, and the lamb was slain on the 14th day, and they brought forth there, and they eat it there with bitter herbs and dry roasted. And I want you to think about it, my friends. God is not someone to be looked upon or to look about or to think about. It's just a myth of something other like Santa Claus. He knows everything, and he sees you all the time. He even knows if you take a flight into the wilderness, he knows where you're at. If you even hide in the depths of the sea, he'll command the serpent to bite you. He knows where we all at. He knows everything, and he's not blind to nothing. There's never a time that God ever let something slip by him. He said, "Oops, something got by me." Nothing's going to get by him. He's got control over all things. Lucifer thought he could outsmart him and take over, but he got fooled. He got cast out. And he's out as a roaring lion into this world, become the god of this world, if you might say so. The scripture said he's the god of this world. He offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he'd bow down and worship him. But Jesus told him, "I shall not have more other gods before him." My friends, and if you got these Easter rabbits and all these pagan worshiping gods before you, you ain't got the truth of Jesus in your heart and the blood of Jesus applied to your heart and everything, and you can keep in all these here sayings and everything that man come up with and paganism, you're liable to have come short. I'm not your judge, but I'm telling you, these things is not right. God does not approve of them, and he's not going to allow this kind of thing to go on and accept it into his kingdom. I don't care what denomination you belong to or who you belong to. You can be the president of the United States and you don't believe in Jesus Christ and have the blood applied, you're not going to make it. Plain and simple. I don't care where you are, where you come from, or who you think you are. Jesus is the one that died for us. He died for us there. He became our Passover sacrifice, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was a lamb. He was the one that come into this world. John even made mention of him there when he come there at the River Jordan to be baptized of him. He told the people there that was gathered around to be baptized unto repentance. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Who else can take away your sins but Jesus? Nobody. No other way. No other sacrifice was ever made. There was a sacrifice of animals for a number of years, but that could not satisfy God. It had to be a supreme sacrifice. And he sent his only begotten into this world, full of grace and truth, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God manifested in the flesh, declared to be the Son of God through the resurrection. And it's not a resurrection to be celebrated by some pagan way of worshiping mixed in with it. You got to praise him and thank him for dying for you and rose again to whereby that he can bring forth the fulfillment of the law. He became our sacrifice on Calvary's cross, and he's alive and alive forevermore. And because he lived, we can live and have life more abundantly and have it eternal by believing and trusting in him. Not in the arm of flesh, you're not in the material things of this world. A lot of people think that the one that's got the most toys wins. The one that got the most toys and they got Jesus, he's lost already. My friend, today there's only one way into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the door. I am the truth." When we received the Spirit of God, he said when he ascended there, before he ascended, after his resurrection, he told the apostles that he was going away, but he would pray the Father, he would send you another comforter in his name, and he would lead you and guide you into all truth. Honey, if you can't be led and guided by the Spirit of God into the truth of God's Word, then anybody can lead you out there anywhere and have you to drink of some water that would be awful bitter to you and would kill your very soul. He is the true bread that came down out of heaven. The children of Israel, they're, as he said, your fathers eat the manna from above and they're dead. He said, but I'm the true bread. Any man that eateth this bread will live forever. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sacrifice and give up the opportunity of eternal life for an egg hunt or for a Santa Claus flying through the sky and a reindeer, eight reindeers playing him? One of them they got tied on there with his nose lights up like red. Are you going to be fooled by these myths and keep celebrating these kind of things and going on and then say you a true Christian? I got my wonders about that, because God is not going to be mocked. He's not going to accept your way of life and worshiping a pagan God at the same time. He's not going to do it. My friend, when he comes down to the wire, people have got to realize that there's only one way, and Jesus is the way. Santa Claus can't do it. Mary can't help you. She was just the instrument, the woman that God used. He created her, and he created the womb he was born in. But he was manifested in the flesh because he had came as a babe, just like you and I did. He was manifested in the flesh for the purpose to come and die on Calvary's tree. And he became our Passover sacrifice. He became our lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins. He came forth and was slain on a cross and was persecuted. They say that when they whipped him on the back with the cat of nine tails until the flesh hung down over his buttocks and the bones was exposed there, he done it for you and I, my friend. He didn't do it because it just pleased him to do it. He done it for you and I. And you think he's going to go along with this idea of his resurrection, that you going out hunting your Easter eggs and boiling them and everything, bringing this kind of paganism into it? No more so than he's going to accept you classifying Santa Claus to be the same as God, to know all, knows you when you're sleeping and knows everything about you. God's the only one that can do that, my friend. Oh, I want you to understand that I'm not the God that would condemn you. Jesus Christ is going to be the one we're going to stand before. Many men's sins have gone on before them because they repented and got forgiveness of the sin, having the blood of Jesus applied to their sins. But some's going to stand before the white throne judgment of God, and they're going to say, some of them going to say, Lord, we've done all these things in your name. We've cast out devils, we healed the sick, opened blind eyes, and we've done all these wonderful things. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Simply because they brought these other pagan gods into their way of worship. My friends, it's time we got to realize that God is not going to have no other gods before him. He told us in his words, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. God is God all over the world. I don't care where you're at or what you're doing, he's still God. You can't diminish him and make him something that he's not. But I'll tell you one thing. When we stand before him on that day, and if your sins are not under the blood, as the scripture said, when he put the blood on the lamb on the doorpost and the lintels, when he told the children of Israel to stay inside behind the door, he said, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But there wasn't no blood on on Egypt's doors and his lintels. And when the death angel came, it struck down all of the firstborn, animals and all. He didn't have no respect there. He brought them all down. And Pharaoh let the children of God go. My friend, and when he pursued after them there, got him in the midst of the Red Sea, and he drowned all of Pharaoh's army. I want you to understand, my friend, God has all this worked out in his own way and in his time. There's nothing that you and I can do to change the Word of God. It's going to be fulfilled right to the cross of the T and the dot of the I. Everything will be as it is written, whether you or I one like it or not. But myself personally, I love it because it tells me the way unto salvation. Tells me about what was done for my sins. Tells me about the man called Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. It tells me the sacrifice and the abuse and the suffering that he done for me. Tells me all about that, how that the apostles and all them that came about and they suffered to bring this gospel unto you and I. Honey, I'm just a messenger on of the Word of God. I didn't write the book, but I'm glad to know that I can lift up that wonderful name that is the author of it and the finisher of our faith. I'm glad to know that him as my personal Savior. I'm glad to know that he took time out to come into this world and die for my sins to have that where I could have salvation. I'm glad for him today. I'm glad of that Passover sacrifice that was made when Jesus told him, he says that he was going to say he desired to have that Passover meal with his apostles. And one of them, and he chose 12. And he said, have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil? We've got a lot of people that's standing behind pulpits and other people, too, that's not fully persuaded in their heart that God is in their life. They got other things. They've got looking towards other things. My friend, I lean upon him. A fellow wished me good luck. I said, I don't need luck. I got Jesus. But I want you to think about it, my friend. If you got Jesus, you got all you need. But if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got what you need. Jesus is everything to me. I've been accused of being a follower of Jesus-only organization. Well, Jesus is everything to me. He's the one that died for me. I want you to understand that there's no other God that can do you like Jesus done you. In fact, Ben, I don't know of no other gods myself, period. They may have some idol worshipers out there, some things like they taking the tree out of the things and they making, dressed it all up and everything, as Jeremiah said, and they bow down to it. It can't do good or evil, but still in all, they have this here, and they do it at the time of Christmas, they call it, the birth of Jesus. He wasn't born on the 25th day of December to start with, but I want you to think about it, my friend. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you to read what the Bible says, not go by whatever thing come along down the road and telling you this and telling you that. Read for yourself. And if you can't read, they got CDs on sale for you that you can get and listen to and about the Word of God in the Bible. I want you to think about it. God is the world's greatest gift of God came through Jesus Christ, and that's salvation. The world can't save you. The world is full of corruption. You hear about it all the time on the news of how that somebody killed somebody for no reason at all, apparently. But he might have got mad at him for some little penny anything, and, well, I'll fix you, and he killed him. My friend, it just brings more troubles and more heartaches upon you to do things like that. But God is going to bring a reckoning one of these days, and I don't believe it's too far away. And he's going to bring all things, and all the crooked things will be made straight. He even made the statement that he said that he would make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And if the Christian, in other words, them that believe, scarcely make it in, where is the sinner and the ungodly going to appear? They're going to appear in the white throne judgment of God and be cast into hell along with all the false prophets and all of them paganism worshipers and everything. Will be cast into outer darkness, as the scripture says, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You might say, well, Brother Compton, you speak as, no, I'm not perfect, my friend. I just serve that one that is perfect. He's the only perfect thing about me, but he keeps me straight. And when I find that I got wrong in something, I try to make it right. It ain't all people that will accept you to try to make things right. They go ahead their own way, but that's not beside the point. God's going to hold them accountable for it, not me or not you. If you try to make it right, if you wrong someone and you ask him to forgive you and he won't forgive you, then the Father's not going to forgive him. My friend, today we got to realize this Word of God is truth. We got to go by what it said, not what somebody else said, but what is written in the Word of God. There's been people that went to school to learn how to preach, and they write the sermons out on a piece of paper. I've never been able to do that. I haven't been to a seminar school. I didn't even finish high school, but my friend, what I've learned by the grace of God through the teaching of the Holy Ghost. When I read the Word of God, I ask Him to guide and lead me into all truth. It's the only way I could do it. It's the only way you can do it. You can't do it on your own. The carnal mind is intimate towards God. You're going to have to get a spiritual discernment of this. And the only way you can do that is through the Spirit of God, through that God that came back in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Himself, to dwell in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to bring unto you salvation through death on the cross and through His resurrection. He was our Passover sacrifice. He was the one that died for us. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came for the purpose to die for you and I. And as my wife was reading there a while ago, who do you serve? Are you willing to recognize him as to being Lord of your soul, or are you ashamed of him? If you're ashamed of him, Paul made mention there in Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it's power unto salvation. So are you ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ? If you are, he'll be ashamed of you before his Father and his holy angels, according to the word of God. Now, friend, I'm not your judge. I barely take care of this man between my elbows, let alone take care of your life. But if I wronged you, I apologize. It's up to you to forgive me, and I'm sorry. But I thank God today to know that the truth, they always told me, would hurt. And Jesus said, I am truth. His teachings that brought forth their disgruntled amongst people. They didn't all agree with him, as some people think in this world, you agree with them in everything you say or do. Well, it's utterly impossible to agree with man with everything he does or say. They didn't agree with the Lord and they crucified him. They didn't agree with the apostles and they crucified them and cut them up and boiled them in oil and killed them in various different ways. So what are you going to do? If you agree with every man that comes along and you don't agree with the word of God, you are a most miserable man. I wouldn't want to be standing close to you in a hailstorm, because a piece liable to fall on you would hit me too. But God's able to protect me from all that kind of stuff, because I believe and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said a moment ago, some man here not too long ago told me, said, well, good luck. I said, it ain't luck, it's Christ in me. I got Jesus. He's my direction. He's my hope, not in luck. Luck has nothing to do with it. Like the rabbit and the egg had nothing to do with his resurrection. Like Santa Claus has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul of the man of Jesus coming into this world. My friend, it's time we realize paganism is paganism and true gospel is true gospel. And the gospel came by Jesus Christ. Faith in him and the finished works of Calvary, that he died for yours and my sins and gave us an opportunity to have salvation. It's by his grace we are saved through faith, not of anything that we could have done for ourselves, but he done it all. He paid the price for you on Calvary's cross as well as he did for me. And it's up to you and I to accept the sacrifice that was made and accept Jesus Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world as our Lord and Savior, to accept him by faith and walk there in the light as he is the light, and not in the world of confusion. Death and hell will follow right after it. My friend, it's time we begin to realize that Jesus is our only hope. It's all about him. Not about somebody else, but it's all about Jesus. He is our only hope. He became our Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and he's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. Nobody else. It's only in Christ Jesus. So, my friend, it's time that we would take time to get a hold of the Word of God. Read it. Take time for out of your life in the day that now that we live, because it's perilous times. Give God a great a praise and honor, and look to him to lead and direct you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. My friend, today, when Jesus suffered, he became our Passover sacrifice. His blood was applied to our sins and his only. There's no other way that we can make it except through him. He's the door. He's the way. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's our hope. Without him, we don't have any hope. Without him, there's no salvation. There's no other name given to where we can be saved by, but at the name of Jesus. I want you to think about it. As my wife said, this is our last live broadcast that we'll be broadcasting from here. And she gave you, there are other places where we'll be. But we just thank God for the opportunity of these 2 years to be here, coming into your homes or by your computer. However you received us, we just appreciate those that have wrote to us, those that have acknowledged it. We praise God for you, and we hope that in the future, God will bless you, and these things will come to your heart, that read the Word of God and see what it has to say. Don't believe a man that is flesh. Believe what the Word of God says, and if it compares to what the man's saying, and the Word stands up and confirms what he's saying, then you can trust him. But trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can save you. I can't save you. I didn't die for you. My blood won't do. But Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, became our sacrificial lamb and our Passover, that he can pass over us and bring us into eternal life. I just praise him today and thank him for his love and mercy. So be tuned to us in the ways that my wife had told you there. And may God really bless you, my friend. It's been a pleasure for the last 2 years. And we just praise God and thank him for the opportunity to lift up that name of Jesus and give glory and honor unto him and him alone. Because he has met our needs and supplied our every needs and helped us. It's a chore coming across that bridge back and forth every Sunday. You never know what somebody decides to run over somebody, like it was on the man on the motorcycle yesterday. I don't know what happened really, but it backed up traffic for a long ways, all the way back up to 4th Interstate 4, they tell me. But my friend, things happen in life, so we're going to have to be prepared to meet our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear.